Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I want to review a little bit from where we were last Sunday. And then I want to move into what he wants to say today. I'm discovering a blueprint of how this gospel was supposed to be preached. And we had in the church for quite a long time, not this church, in the body of Christ as a whole, we've had parts of the blueprint. And parts of the blueprint bring partial results. Amen? It's pretty amazing. It's been there the whole time. And what we basically taught last Sunday is we differentiated Acts chapter 1 and Luke 24 of where these things were spoken. If you'll go back to Acts 1 just for a moment, verse 3, we'll just pass in review for a couple of minutes. Half of this I'll exhort, and then we'll get into teaching as well. If you're listening to this by way of internet, we'll have the sermon notes attached to it. You can follow along. Now, Luke is rehearsing. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he's rehearsing what happened in the former days before the Lord was taken up. When he died and he was resurrected, he spent 40 days with the disciples and showing himself alive to them on various occasions before he ascended up to the Father. And verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I know he showed himself to the 12 at least 5 times, and to Peter once alone. That's 6 times for Peter before he was taken up. So he said he showed himself by many infallible proofs. And not only did he do that, he spoke of them things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, if you go over to Luke 24, we're just reviewing a minute. Basically, in Luke 24, when he said he showed himself alive, he rehearsed his account when the Lord walked through the door in the midst of the eyewitness. And one of the first or second times he showed himself to the apostles, they thought they were seeing a ghost or a spirit because they didn't know it was. And he said, touch me. He goes, a spirit has not flesh and bones like you see me have. He asked him to touch him. He says, touch my hands, touch my feet. Because he was establishing the eyewitness with them because they were going to be his witnesses in the earth. And they weren't going to be secondhand witnesses. They were going to be firsthand witnesses or eyewitnesses. So he goes, I want you to know you're not looking at a spirit here. You're looking at me. I've been raised from the dead. And he says, the spirit I have not flesh and bones. All this is in Luke 24. And then he says, have you anything to eat? And I don't know about you, but these guys ate with the Lord in a resurrected state. He ate with them and they had fish and he ate with them. He did that 2 or 3 times with them, ate with them. I mean, can you imagine seeing the Lord in a resurrected state? I mean, one minute they're with him, the next minute he dies, their whole life has been crashed. He walks through the wall and said, touch me. And then he says, let's eat. And they eat together. These are the infallible proofs that they showed himself alive. But then he says something. I want you to go to Luke 24 because this is where we're going to be today. I want you to look at verse 44. Not only did he eat with him, after he established the eyewitness, and they knew that it was him in a resurrected state. And that was very important because on the world scene in the early church, they were going to establish a brand new kingdom in the earth. That kingdom was going to draw people out of darkness, translate them out of darkness into his marvelous light. So they were going into virgin territory with a world that had been steeped into darkness. And he said, you're going to have to be my eyewitnesses because you're going to go bear witness of my resurrection, but not just secondhand testimony, firsthand testimony. So verse 44, not only does he eat with them, he shows himself, then he opens the scripture to them. Now I want you to see this in your Bible, Luke 24, verse 44. If you're taking notes, this would be a good time to write something down. Praise the Lord. Now, all of this in Acts, he said he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, speaking things concerning the kingdom. Now, Luke gives us a little bit better idea of what he actually said to them because he opens the scripture to them and he preaches to them. The Lord himself teaches them. He takes them back into the Old Testament and he shows them, this was me, this was me, this was me, this was me. Now, what he's going to do, establish his testimony, not in the mouth of one witness, not in the mouth of two witnesses, but in the mouth of three witnesses they're going to go. And I'm going to show you that pattern or that blueprint that released and birthed the early church in power and in glory. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at verse 44, this is the second witness. The first witness was eyewitness. Second witness. Now, that's apostolic. According to Paul, every apostle in the New Testament saw the Lord. Every one of them saw the Lord. He was seen of all the apostles. In Luke 24:44, and he's in a resurrected state saying this. This is not Jesus before his resurrection. This is after he's died and raised from the dead before his ascension. He's standing in front of them and he opens the scripture to them. He said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now, he talks three different levels here, or three different books. The Law of Moses, which is the first five books. So he opens scripture to them in the first five books. And then he says the prophets, which are quite a few of them. And then in the Psalms. So we have the Law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms. And what he does is he opens the Old Testament and shows them who he is. He said, this is me. You're going to preach this in the new covenant. That's what he tells them. Just got through establishing the eyewitness by many infallible proofs. Ate with them. Touch me. Speak with me. And then he opens the scripture. And then the third witness, he tells them, wait on the promise of the Holy Ghost. He goes, do not go out without him. Now, when they birthed, there was three witnesses. Their personal eyewitness, and then he opens the scripture. That's the second witness. That's the witness of the word. And the third witness was the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to show you the first two or three chapters, especially the first two sermons. I'll show you all three of these witnesses and what the Holy Ghost does because of it. So if you'll go over to Acts chapter 2, I want to look at all three of these today. Praise the Lord. First sermon of the early church. They didn't really know when the Holy Ghost was going to fall. The Lord just said, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, before I get into this, it's important to know that God is restoring everything in reverse right now. When he started with them, the first thing he gave them after his resurrection was the eyewitness. And he didn't do it just one time. Five different occasions, the apostles saw him. Peter saw him alone on a sixth occasion. The women saw him. The two on the road to Damascus. And according to 1 Corinthians 15, 500 people saw him at one time. Saw him in a resurrected state. Full of gospel people. So he establishes the eyewitness. And then he opens the scripture, and then he tells them, wait on the Holy Ghost. Now, that's how he burst. The Holy Ghost was the last to come, and he had everything ready. He had the eyewitness, he had the scripture, he had his people, they were ready to go. And when he came, boy, he came powerful. Now, we're restoring everything in advance because the dark ages, everything was lost. You know anything about church history? During the dark ages, they lost everything up until the time around the mid 14th, 15th century. When Martin Luther, he was the most really famous one for the Reformation. He reestablished justification by faith. And then the churches started coming forth. The Baptist Church, Episcopalian Church, Methodist, all those came out of that. And the office of pastor was established. And the evangelists came along in the 1800s. And then in the early 1900s, the restoration on Azusa Street of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was restored to the church. And then in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the charismatic movement, During that time, the office of the teacher was established. That's when the teacher started teaching again. Kenneth Hagin had a whole lot to do with that reestablishment. And then in the 80s to 90s, the prophetic office began to emerge again in a huge way. And the final office, to know their forerunners, is going to be an apostolic office. God will have an apostolic witness in the earth. There will be the witness of the apostles again. You will see that witness in cities. You will see churches change and transform under the power of that apostolic office. That office is going to carry the weightiness of God's glory. It's going to set everything in order. But there are things that have to happen for that office to be restored. We're still waiting on some of these components. But I tell you this, it is my belief that God in the last days is going to give His church every single thing He gave His early church. You can say, oh me, oh my, or amen, but He's going to do it. Amen. So let's look at this blueprint from His Word and see what His Word has to say. It's not what we think. It's not what man's taught us that establishes truth. It's not what we've learned 20, 30 years ago. It's not what our mind tells us God is. It's what His Word says that is truth. It's what this Word says. I want to know how'd you birth it? Because every time we go to Acts chapter 1, behold, you shall see power. When the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall be my witnesses. And we always go, well, I got the Holy Ghost. Where is the rest of it? But there are some more components that come together. Because when God goes to the world with His church, He goes in the mouth of two or three. And when you have all those components under an apostolic office, it releases something. And we're going to see it today. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2. We're all familiar with this. They're waiting in the upper room. And the day of Pentecost fully came. Holy Ghost descends, fills the room. Cloven tongues of fire come upon them. They start speaking in many different languages. That was one of the operations of tongues, is diversity of tongues. There's a lot of controversy on tongues in the church. I understand that controversy. But there was a diversity of tongues. There was different operations of tongues. It wasn't just one. That particular one that fell that day was what was referred to in 1 Corinthians 14 as the sign for the unbeliever, that he transcended their intellect. And he says, how hear we speak these men, everyone in our own language? And they were hearing 18 different languages. So it wasn't just the 12 that were being baptized in the Holy Ghost. The whole room was being baptized in the Holy Ghost. They heard 18 different languages. They were just praying in tongues, but the people that came upon them said, how hear we these languages in our own native tongue? And we do hear them speak the wonderful works of God. They were preaching to them. These apostles and these people were just praying in tongues, but all these people heard those languages. And it was a sign to them that God was with them, because they knew they didn't speak that dialect. And so Peter gets up and he preaches his first sermon. Now this is powerful. The first thing he does is quote directly from the book of Joel, which was the prophet, one of the prophets that the Lord opened that book to him. Peter just didn't get up there and preach some message spontaneously. Jesus had taught him that message personally in a resurrected state. I don't know about you, but I'd sure like the Lord to sit down with me. Would you like the Lord to sit down with you and just open the scripture in a resurrected state? And he opens the book and he says, these are not drunk as you suppose. They're just very filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, this was spoken in the book of Joel by the prophet Joel. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So he rehearses from one of the prophets that the Lord showed him back there in Luke 24. And then after that, he releases another part of that sermon. He quotes directly from Psalm 16. Where did he learn all this? He learned it from the Lord. Now I wanted you to look at Psalm 16 for a minute. Or you can look at it Acts 2. It's the same. He quotes it verbatim. We'll just look at it in Acts for sake of time. Acts 2:25. So this is the second part of his sermon. He said, David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Now you have to understand, these people, they were Jews. They understood the Old Testament as being the mouthpiece of God. So Peter gets up because the Lord had to show him, this is me. Took him to Psalm 16, says, this is me right here. In a resurrected state, he said, that's me. Because remember, in Luke 24, what did he do? He opened what? He opened the book of Moses. We'll look at that in a minute. Opened the Psalms and the prophets. So he just got through speaking the prophet. Then he speaks of Psalm 16. What's happening here? God is going to establish his witness to the world, but not just one witness, not just two. He's going to establish three. The first witness is going to happen. When the Holy Ghost fell, Peter's going to preach the witness of God's word from the Old Testament, where the Psalms and the prophets and the book of Moses all prophesied concerning him. Peter releases this. And so he's talking to Psalm 16 here, and he says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He quotes directly from Psalm 16, verse 25, Acts 2. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And there's, of course, some psalm adds, at thy right hand there shall be pleasures forevermore. Now, what Peter says, he says, look, David's body, he goes on to say, saw corruption, so he wasn't speaking of himself here. He was speaking of another to come. And we are witnesses of this resurrection. He was prophesying of a Messiah to come in Psalm 16, and we are eyewitnesses of that Messiah that word prophesied. He said, and surely he is ascended to the right hand of God. So he's speaking the witnesses from his word. Then he goes on to quote Psalms 110. Again, quoting from the Psalm, three witnesses from the word of God. Three. He goes on to say in Psalms 10, Acts chapter 2, 34. Sake of time, we'll run right through it. For David has not ascended into the heavens, he said, but the Lord said unto my set, he said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So now we see him, he preaches from the book of Job. He preaches from the book of Psalms 16 and Psalms 110. So the first witness to the early church was the witness of the law and the prophets. He gave that witness to them. See how the Lord works? You can't be going up on some encounter. Say, I've had this encounter with God. You can't back it up with scripture. Every encounter they're going to have, they're going to back it up with scripture. Because they're about to tell him, we have seen this guy. We have seen him. The very one that walked among you has been raised from the dead. You can't be coming to the world with something like that just based on your own experience. He didn't send them alone with their own experience. He backed it up. And the first thing he did, brought the word. He said, this is the law and this is the prophets. And then they said, and we are eyewitnesses of these things because he showed himself to us. They established a second witness, which is all of them. And Peter, in front of all of them, said, we are all witnesses that this has happened. He has been raised from the dead. Now God just established. See, that's really our responsibility, is to establish a witness. The word speaks for itself. But then there's another. The Holy Ghost is going to come and bear his witness. That's what we got to have. Now, watch what happens. Go to Acts 2, verse 32. Let's look at this second witness before we jump in to the third witness. Second witness, Acts 2, 32. I'm going to tell you, he's going to do this again. He's going to establish it all over again. The whole early church was birthed out of law and the prophets. It was birthed out of the Holy Ghost and birthed from the eyewitness. He's going to do it again. And when he does, and all these components come together, you're going to see foundations of cities shaking. These men have turned the world upside down. You can believe it or not believe it, but it's going to happen. Acts 2, verse 32. And this Jesus hath God raised up. He just spoke to them about the resurrection of the dead, whereof we are all witnesses of him being raised up, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted. In other words, Peter said, we saw him go up. We were all there when he ascended up in front of us. We were there. So what's the Holy Ghost doing now in the courtroom of the world system? He just established the law and the prophets. Now he's going to establish what? The eyewitness testimony of the early church. The Lord spent 40 days showing himself. It wasn't just one. It wasn't a vision either. It's very important. He was in front of them. Well, that's just for the early apostles. That's exactly why God pulled Paul, the apostle, out from all of them. He didn't know them. He wasn't trained by them. He was given the same experience as an apostle. He gave everything that they had, same doctrine, same eyewitness, same Holy Ghost, did the same things they did, same witness. But he wasn't a part of their order. Call out. Now, let's look at this third witness. So now we're all eyewitnesses of this. Now the Holy Ghost says, yes, I agree. I have been sent. I agree with the law and the prophets. I agree that they are truly eyewitnesses. Now the Holy Ghost's turn. When we get the components right, when God gets them established, I'm telling you, it's going to go whew. The walls are going to shake. I hope the sheetrock will remain. Hallelujah. Now, let's watch the Holy Spirit's testimony. Acts 2, verse 37. Acts 2, 37. Now, so Peter preaches this. He preaches the three witnesses, Joel, two from the Psalms, tells them are eyewitnesses. He finishes his message. Now, these guys, notice what it says in Acts 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. Holy Ghost now descends on the whole group. There's a lot of them there. He descends and there's trembling. And they say, what must we do to be saved? I don't know about you, but it's not often people come ask you, what must I do to be saved? Most time you're trying to call them up. Come on, come on, come to the altar. They ran to Peter. Holy Ghost fell. He's in harvest mode now. He's coming to confirm that word. They were pricked in their heart. The conviction of God fell. Finney, that guy in the 1800s, famous evangelist, he'd start preaching. The Holy Ghost would fall on the whole city. People coming into the city would start coming under conviction. They don't even hear his words, but the Holy Ghost was releasing all over the city. And they were coming under that conviction, and they would start coming under conviction, and they would run into a church to get saved. Where are those days? America needs those days. America does not need a dead, dry church anymore. We don't need any more religion. We don't need any more entertainment. We got plenty of it. We don't need it. We need the full gospel. All the witness coming together. And it said 3,000 people born again that day. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. No Hollywood. No advertising. No marketing, no entertaining, nothing. But they had three witnesses. They had the eyewitness. They had the Holy Ghost. He come and did his job. He just added 3,000 to the church just like that. They had the word, the eyewitness, and the Holy Ghost in the mouth of three. God established his testimony. Let's look at the second sermon of the early church. Go to Acts chapter 3. Now, what he does in Acts is to bring you up to speed. In 3, they're going up to the temple in prayer, and that man's laying at the gate, beautiful, 40 years on the bed, survived every priest, survived the high priest, survived every Levite, laid there 40 years at the gate beautiful. I don't know what that'd be like, to suffer infirmity for 40 years, being a beggar, reduced to begging his whole life. And he walks up and Peter puts his gaze on him. That man was begging for alms, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have." Now that's very important, because Peter done had it on him. Really, what he had is the Holy Ghost that then come down on him. He goes, "I have somebody that stands with me now. Rise up and walk." That guy gets up, and you can imagine everybody in that temple knew that guy. He'd been there for 40 years. This is Acts chapter 3. A commotion and a stir takes place, and all these people come around, and Peter knows the Holy Ghost is setting up his second sermon. Now, we know there's a lot of them there, just by the number of people that get saved during this sermon. 5,000 people are going to get saved here off of one miracle. Now watch all the components come together. Now the Holy Ghost is now moving into demonstration. He's soul winning and demonstrating. So he demonstrates, all these people come around. This is not a light miracle. At least 5,000. If everybody got saved, it was 5,000. There's probably 6,000 or 7,000, because you have to account for the unbelievers that didn't believe it. But 5,000 got saved. I want to preach like that. That's called preaching with the Holy Ghost that come down from heaven. But see, they had something. Now, what Peter starts with now, he starts with the eyewitness. Before he started with the word, he's going to get an eyewitness, he's going to give the word, and then the Holy Ghost comes and do his thing. Amen? Now, let's watch this. All three witnesses, you're going to see it. You'll see this thread throughout the book of Acts, and it's what made the church what they were. And until all this is restored, we're going to keep getting the same results we're getting. We're just going to keep playing church, having church, and that is not what we're looking for. I'm telling you, time is too short. The world is shaking. The foundations of the world are shaking. The birth pangs of the world are upon us. They need the witnesses, the sons of God again. They need it. All over again. I'll tell you, America needs it. They have forgotten the God that birthed this country. They need more than our words. They need demonstration. We need the Holy Ghost. Say, "Well, we already have him." Yeah, but there are these components that still hadn't all come together. When he has all the components, kaboom. All right, Acts chapter 3, verse 12. So the crowd comes together. Peter sees the crowd come up over that miracle. Verse 12, "And Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why look so earnestly upon us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. And when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and that just and desired a murderer to be granted and killed the Prince of Life." Now look at this. Watch what he does. Watch. Establishes the eyewitness. "Whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." We are witnesses that he raised him from the dead. You know what that takes? I mean, we all do that. We all serve. We all know the God and tell everybody he's been raised from the dead. But it's a different story when you do see him and you go to the world. And I'm not just talking to you about third party faith here. I have seen him. See, he wasn't going to just send them without witness. If all God does is send us with words, you're not going to get the result. The Holy Ghost has got to come with you. When he said, he goes, "He shall testify." He goes, "Wait on the Comforter and I'll send him to you, and he'll testify of me, and you also will bear witness." In chapter 5, he said, "We are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost." See, it's those witnesses combined. So now we see that Peter declares, "We are witnesses." So he establishes that eyewitness in front of them. There's a lot of people there. In fact, all the temple, the high priest and all of them are going to come out in a minute. They all show up. Man, the Holy Ghost is setting the stage. That's why you got to preach with him. I'm just going to tell you straight up, he's going to reestablish the eyewitness. It's going to happen. He says, we are witnesses, and in his name, through faith in his name, this man has been converted. And they're all listening to him. So now he's going to give them the witness of the word, the same words the Lord Jesus himself taught them in a resurrected state. Remember what he taught them? What did he say? Book of Moses, Psalms, and Prophets. Remember, he opened all that to them. Watch what he quotes from here. Peter's second message. These weren't spontaneous messages. The Lord himself taught him these messages. Acts 3, verse 20. Now he's going to establish the witness of the word. And he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Verse 22. Ready? Here now he's going to introduce Moses. This is what, remember the Lord opened that to him in Luke 24? What he opened? The book of Moses. He's going to quote from Moses here. He's going to quote it. He's quoting directly out of Deuteronomy 18, first five books of the Bible. He's going to quote directly from Deuteronomy. I mean, the Lord took him to Deuteronomy and showed it to him. And now he's going to preach it. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto men, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. So, that's quoting directly from Deuteronomy 18, 18. That's what the Lord showed him. So what's he doing? Establish the eyewitness, now the word, the law and the prophets. And then he quotes out of Samuel. He doesn't really quote the scripture, but he references Samuel next. See the pattern? See the blueprint? See, once the Holy Ghost has the blueprint, he releases. They establish the eyewitness, establish the mouth of the law and the prophets. Now watch what he says here. Don't you love the word? Man, love it. Verse 24, Acts 3, yeah. You can't have full gospel without yeah. And all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many has spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Again, he references the prophets. He references Moses. He referenced the prophets. And then he's going to reference one more. Abraham. He's going to teach them something. Book of Genesis, he shows them something they never seen before. Because listen, the Jews all knew they came out of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They knew that. But he's going to tell them, this Christ that came out, he's a brand new heir. And you're all children of this new heir. He's telling them, it wasn't just speaking of the natural lineage. There was going to be a spiritual lineage come out of Abraham. And Christ was going to be that heir. And he was going to birth a whole brand new kingdom. And he tells him, and he quotes directly, the Lord had to show him this verse. Did God do it right, or did he do it right? Look what happened, verse 25. He says, you're the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, Acts 3 and 25, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God hath raised up his son Jesus and sent him to bless you. Unto thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. See, he told Abraham that. When he called Abraham, he said, unto your seed. Now the Jews always knew that they were that seed. But they didn't know that there was a spiritual lineage that's going to come out of that seed. Unto thy seed. And like Galatians actually says it. He said, and thy seed, which he was referring to, was Christ. See, Christ was all these promises were not just made to Abraham's natural lineage. He was really made to this seed that would come down way, 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 way down the lineage of Abraham. Past David. All the way down when Christ was born. And that lineage, and then he became the inheritor of all those promises. But it was going to be done not in a natural lineage. See, they wanted to make him king. They said he's a different kind of king because it's a different kind of kingdom. He goes, and you're sons of this. You're children of this new promise because this king has been raised from the dead. And he reigns somewhere else. He reigns out of the right hand of God. and you're children of that promise. Boy, that's all the Holy Ghost needed right there. He doesn't have the eyewitness spoken. Peter said it. They're all there. He references Moses. He references Genesis. And he references Samuel. And then the Holy Ghost said, step aside. Thank you. That's all I need. Got it from here. This is the kind of preaching we're going to see in the last days. This is the kind of preaching that you are going to see mass harvesting. Mass harvesting. God, under the apostolic office, is going to restore everything the early church walked in. He birthed the entire early church out of the eyewitness. Acts 4, verse 1. So this carries over, this whole thing carries over chapter 4. Watch what happens. Now the Holy Ghost, now he's going to come have his say. What did he say in the mouth of two or three? So he's got the eyewitness. Peter gets up and preaches the law of prophets to them. Moses, law of prophets. And now the Holy Ghost will say, okay, I will now confirm in the mouth. I'll be that third witness. Watch what happens. Whew, I like it. How many of you like it? Verse 1, Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now some of the leaders are showing up. Verse 2, powerful verse, being grieved. People get grieved with some of this. And being grieved that they taught the people, what are we doing right now? Teaching the resurrection. Won't be long, we're going to have that witness. I know we're going to have it. Look, the Holy Ghost doesn't teach us things like this to leave us half with a glass half full. He doesn't do that. Not open something like this and the way he's opening it up. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. What was their message? Right hand of God, resurrection of the dead. We've already taught the whole book of Acts on this. We've threaded it all the way through. It's all there. Same message throughout the book of Acts. Resurrection, right hand. Watch what happens. Lay hands on them and put them in the hold the next day. Verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believe, and the number of the men was about 5,000 people. Born again, one sermon, no Hollywood, no entertainment, no marketing, but the Holy Ghost demonstrating. See, that was his witness. He pulled and started multiplying a new kingdom. You read that later, you'll see that the high priest shows up. They all show up. His family shows up. They threaten him. We straightly threaten you. You will not preach in this name. You will not preach about the resurrection of the dead. Peter just stands up in front of him. You can read it later. He stands and says, look, be it known unto you. We're going to obey God whether you like it or not. They started rejoicing. They were counted worthy for persecution. They said, Father, grant unto thy servants signs, miracles, and wonders to be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And the place started shaking. The Holy Ghost ascended upon him and shook the house down like he did in Acts chapter 2. And it says, with great power granted he witness of the resurrection. With great power granted he the apostles witness of the resurrection. Acts 4:33, in case you want to see it. With great power gave the apostles witness of what? Witness. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my witness. Witness of what? The resurrection. How can we witness it if it's not back into the earth? That was the apostolic message. And it's going to get restored. And I'm getting bolder by the hour. Praise the Lord. You cannot refute the word of God. How can we do what they did if we don't have what they have? Well, I have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but the eyewitness is not in the earth. Not like that. I want to see 3,000 born again. I want to see 5,000 born again. I know what makes that work now. It's not us. But there is a witness that must be established. Go to Psalms 2, What was the Holy Ghost doing? Adding 3,000 to the church, adding 5,000 to the church. This is an awesome, awesome, awesome psalm. Psalms 2 verse 6. We don't have to step into his line of things, but he needs something. And God's going to restore everything. I know he is. It would be an injustice for Jesus to come back and not give the world the witness that he gave in the early church. There's going to be an early rain and a latter rain. If that latter rain's coming, I'm telling you, he is going to give the latter-day church exactly what he gave the early ones. Because the rise of the apostolic office requires it. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said he was seen of all the apostles. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? It seemed to be a qualification in the early church. If you were an apostle, you were called to bear witness of the resurrection. That was their message. At the ordination of Matthias, said, choose out among all these men too. And here's their qualifications. One that had been with us since he came out of the waters with John all the way the time that he was taken up from among them. They have to be witnesses of this resurrection if they're going to stand as apostles. Psalms 2 verse 6, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Now I can't get into it, but in Acts 13, Paul references that very psalm and says that son was the father calling his son up into the right hand of God and said, I have begotten thee in the resurrection. When he ascended up unto the Father, he goes, thou art my son. I set my king, my heir, my Christ on the holy hill of Zion. I set him in the right hand of God. This day, son, I have begotten thee from the dead. See, he raised him from the dead. And then when he gets up in there, notice what he says in that psalm. Ask of me, son. The nations is thine inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. When did he ask him that? When he was taken up from among them after 40 days of showing himself, he ascended into the right hand of God. And when he became the appointed heir of the Father, he said, Father, grant me the nations now as my inheritance. Grant me the uttermost parts of the earth as my possession. Grant me, Father, grant it to me. Grant me! And he says, I grant it to you. And then right then, Acts 2:33, he sends the Holy Spirit into the church to grant his son a brand new kingdom. First message of Peter, 3,000 born again. Second message of Peter, 5,000 born again. The numbers must have gotten too long. They didn't bring their calculators because they didn't tell. All they said after that is disciples were multiplied, greatly multiplied, greatly multiplied, greatly. And you are part of that multiplication. Part of that promise when Christ asked his Father, nations, we're part of those nations. We're heirs of that promise. The Holy Ghost is still at work today, and he's at work again, and he's going to harvest the world in this generation. There have been two generations I would have liked to belong to, either that first one with those 12 apostles or this one, because they look for this day, because never in a time in the world is the world as big as it is now. And never time in the world is we're going to see a harvest across the globe. The Holy Ghost is going to harvest one last sickle. Going to be thrust into the harvest fields. And he's going to go very deep and wide. People that have survived message after message after message after message. And lived their life in the flesh. The Holy Ghost is going to descend in power. He's going to shake the foundations of the world again. And they're going to come in. Somebody say hallelujah. He's doing it again. It's going to start with the reestablishing of the eyewitness. So let it be, Father. I'm not here to please man anymore, Father. We're here to please you. We cannot preach this gospel in its entirety until all things be fulfilled. So let it be, Father. So let it be according to your word. Grant it.